If you would, I'd like to pray for Karen as she gets ready to come up and bring us the word that God has laid on her heart for us. So would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for the gifts that you disperse to the people in your body, for the good of your body and for the good of your kingdom. And we thank you this morning that you have given Karen a gift of speech and things to say and words that are coming straight from you. We pray that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to know and love you better. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Last week we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. Pastor Steve shared with us the hope that Jesus has to offer, not just the resurrection of Jesus, but the resurrection of our hearts. He talked about how we may be overwhelmed with the disappointments we face or will face in life. Steve shared how Jesus can give us a new thought life, one that goes from I had hoped to I have hope. I asked Kennedy, she's one of the teens at youth group, to draw a picture for me. I'm the type of person that I kind of need a visual anchor in my brain in order to kind of solidify something. So when I'm hearing about Jesus and his hands, I can kind of get an image in my head, but it helps to have a visual. And Kennedy, it's kind of hard to see up here, but the original is right here. She drew me this beautiful picture of Jesus's hands, and you can see she put the holes in his hands so that we kind of have a visual of what we're talking about this morning. We could talk about going from hope, losing hope, to having hope, but it's still okay to acknowledge our disappointments. But we don't have to dwell on them. We can know that with each disappointment, each hurt, each tear, there's healing, recovery, forgiveness. It doesn't always look how we hope it looks, but just as Christ rose from the dead, our hope can too. But did you know that God has an enemy? That enemy, who sometimes we call Satan or Lucifer or the devil, or we might just say the enemy, he wants to see you fail. He wants you to lose hope. In an effort to expand his own kingdom and steal from God's kingdom, this enemy tries to take us down with him. He already knows that he's on the losing team. He knows. He knows that Jesus rose from the dead. He knows about the holes in his hands, and he knows the price that Jesus paid. And he knows that he's not going to win in the end. But he still wants to take as many people down with him as he possibly can. If you know that, if you know that Jesus rose from the dead and he defeated all of this, then you're a threat to the kingdom that Satan is trying to establish. Ephesians 6:10 through 11 tells us, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." His schemes. Satan is a dirty liar. He wants you to believe that there is no hope. He wants you to believe that you aren't good enough, and he wants you to give up. I want to share with you a story about somebody who's very, very near and dear to our family. We all love him very much. Daryl, some of you have met him. He's 15 years old. He's going to be 16 in August. Daryl started playing baseball when he was only 6 years old. There he is. Actually, in that first slide, it's that one round of baseball that Josiah played with him. He's very gifted in this sport, and he has an incredible level of dedication and passion, and he's had that dedication and passion from a very, very young age. Daryl's skills developed, and he would often play on teams that were above his age level, and coaches always wanted Daryl to play for them, not just because Daryl's an incredible athlete, but also because he displays a strong work ethic and good sportsmanship. He's the whole package. Daryl fell in love with the sport. He worked hard, and he improved his skills. In 2017, he was ranked 5th in the nation as a center fielder via the USSSA, which, if you don't know what that is, because I didn't, it's an amateur sports organization and a national ranking system. He was scouted by the Toronto Blue Jays to participate in an urban development program for high school kids put on by the MLB. He currently has 5 Division I colleges following him, but they're not allowed to recruit him until junior year. Daryl's currently a freshman in high school. These colleges know that Daryl is worth the wait, so they're going to keep their eyes on him. A lot of kids say that they want to be a singer, an actor, or a pro athlete when they grow up, and I think it's important that we as adults in their lives encourage those dreams. We want our kids to dream big. It absolutely can happen. It can become a reality. But did you know that realistically, we all know it can be a long shot, right? High school students have a 0.4% chance of playing baseball professionally. That's not even a full 1%. 0.4% are the odds of being a professional baseball player. I believe that Daryl Mays is the 0.4%, and so do these colleges that are watching him. A few weeks ago, we were celebrating my dad's birthday. We were over at my sister's house. I was with my brothers and sisters, and my phone rang, and I saw Tamara's ID pop up on my phone. Tamara is Daryl's mom. She's also my best friend. And, you know, we all have certain people in our lives that when we see their name on our phone ID, we always answer no matter what we're doing, right? Maybe your parents, maybe your siblings. When that name pops up, you answer it right away. Tamara's one of those people. She was down in L.A. with another one of her superstar athlete kids, not Daryl, another one, because that's how their family does. She told me that she was down in L.A. She was on her way back up because her husband, Daryl Sr., gave her a call, and Daryl Jr. was injured during his baseball game. When he was running, he stepped down on the base, just like any other game, and in a strange freak accident, he felt his bone snap. And it wasn't just any bone, it was his femur. Your femur is the largest bone in your body. And we've talked about how talented Daryl is. It takes a lot of talent to break that bone. Daryl had to go into surgery. Daryl got a titanium rod from his hip down to his knee and 3 screws to keep it stable. This is a kid who spent 2/3 of his life dedicated to this game. He was 10 years old when he knew he wanted to be a pro ball player. When I was 10 years old, I knew I wanted to be a list of maybe 10 different jobs. Daryl knew what he wanted from a young age. So I asked Daryl what went through his mind when all of this happened. He told me, "When it first happened, I immediately knew I wasn't going to be able to play for a while. We found out it was a 3 to 6 month recovery. Just hearing I'd be out so long was demoralizing because all I could think about were the things I'd be missing. It didn't help that I was in severe pain for days following surgery and was feeling like recovery would take forever." He said the first couple of days he felt sadness and regret. His plan B career options came to mind. He was fearing that he would miss too much time on the field to make a full recovery, and that he wouldn't be able to play baseball at the same level he was at pre-injury. Can you imagine the loss of hope that you might be feeling if your entire lifelong dream in that split second changed? Those thoughts that are racing through his head? It's fair to say he might have lost some hope at that moment. I didn't go to church as a kid, and occasionally I'll hear Ezra sing a song that I've never heard before. He tells me that he either sang it at church as a child or learned it on in Sunday school. And recently, Ezra and Pastor Amy were talking about how some of those older songs hold a special place in their hearts. These are older songs that I never really learned because I didn't grow up going to church. And they hold these songs in their hearts because the lyrics serve as reminders of what Scripture says. So this morning, they're actually going to share one of those songs with us. So Ezra and Amy are going to come on up and sing that for us.
Cast
on. Should start over.
How's it go again? It's different with all the people here.
I know, it's doubling.
I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Ezra, I feel the same way when I'm standing up here with the mic. That's a lot of people. I think that song is a great refrain to store in our hearts for times like that split-second freak accident that happened to Daryl, which has the potential to alter the course of his life. Because we're all going to be faced with situations that shake us. In John 20, 19 through 22, we read about Jesus appearing to his disciples after the resurrection. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The disciples, if you notice at the beginning of that scripture, they were hiding in fear. They witnessed their best friend, the Messiah, beaten and murdered. The Jewish leaders did not want the message that Jesus was spreading to continue. They wanted it to die with Jesus. But Jesus stood with them and told them, "Be at peace." He showed them his scars. He tells them that they are being sent to continue his mission, but not alone. The very same Spirit alive inside of Jesus, he breathed onto them. Jesus equips them for the task that he is giving them. Jesus is still sending his people today. That same Spirit is available to us. We are called, and when we choose to answer, we are equipped. The disciples tell their buddy Thomas about this encounter with the risen Lord, and he can't believe what they're saying. He says he needs to see the scars to believe. A week later, we read in John 20, 26 that Jesus came and stood among them, even though the doors were locked. And I'm kind of amused at this part where it says, even though the doors were locked, that Jesus is standing among them, because we know that Jesus rose from the dead, which is pretty much as amazing as it can get. But on top of that, he's got like ninja status because he's appearing next to them behind closed, locked doors. And he greets them again with, "Peace be with you." He addresses Thomas and tells him to touch his hands and his side, which is exactly what Thomas needed. Thomas was saying, "I just can't believe. I need to see it. I need to touch it. I need to feel it." And Jesus provides that for him. So Thomas gets to touch his hands, and he touches his side where he was pierced during the crucifixion. He tells Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." Jesus appeared a few other times after this resurrection. I think that when we read these stories, we can kind of disengage sometimes. Maybe you're good at visualizing these events like a storybook in your mind, but do you ever wonder what that means for you personally in modern times, in your life today? These aren't just archaic fables. They apply to us right now. Think for a minute about him standing with his friends after he rose from the dead. Try to visualize that. Imagine Jesus standing there with his friends. That is our risen God. He stands with us. I asked Daryl about how his thoughts have evolved over the course of this very different season of his life. We can learn so much from his response, and I want to remind you, he's 15, he's almost 16, and I say it, I'll always say it all the time, the Holy Spirit does not have age boundaries. We can learn so much from young, from old, from wherever you are in the middle of that. There's so much to be learned from our brothers and sisters who choose to follow the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does not have age boundaries. Daryl's response was, "As I progressed and slowly became able to do little things like getting out of bed or taking a shower, I started to focus on the positives. Eventually, my faith grew, and over days of praying and working hard, I found myself in a state of anticipation and gratitude rather than sadness and regret. Everything happens for a reason, and that's what I keep telling myself. The more I prayed and talked with my family, the more it really got to me that God will make good of this. I started to think of it less as a setback and more as an opportunity." When Jesus appears to the disciples, he often says, "Peace be with you." What's holding you back this morning? When you're pursuing the gifts that God gives you, when you're choosing to follow Christ, he is saying, "Peace be with you." Not, "I will make this easy on you." Daryl's recovery is not going to be easy. Not being on the field for these next few months is going to be a big challenge in a new way of living for him. But there is an unexplainable peace that comes with knowing that a God who defeated death has your back. He has the scars to prove that he has literal skin in the game. More than anyone. You don't stand alone when you stand with Christ, ever. The world says to worry. Jesus says, have peace. Thomas needed to see the gash in Jesus' side and the holes in his hands to really process that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And I feel like he kind of gets a bad rap. We kind of fault him kind of harshly, and you've probably heard the term doubting Thomas, right? I'll own that I am a doubting Thomas many times in my life. And I think that we kind of judge him a little too harshly for this, but it's pretty unbelievable to think about a man dying and then rising from the dead. But Jesus met his disbelief with scars. We may not be able to tangibly touch Jesus' wounds today, but what evidence has he given you personally of his resurrection, of his love, of his presence in your life? Maybe his presence takes the form of a kind word when you really need it, a meal when things are tough, financial relief in the midst of struggles, one of my favorites, baby giggles. Maybe things are seriously rough for you right now and you have a hard time seeing Jesus in this storm. We live in a time that is so fast-paced and so filled with instant gratification that it can be so, so hard to see beyond right now. Visualize those hands that Thomas got to reach out and touch. Visualize those holes. They represent the death of our fears, the death of our worries, the death of you aren't good enough. I asked Daryl if his relationship with God has changed through this, and he told me that he definitely feels closer to God. He said, having faith in things that are uncertain or confusing is and will be much easier. And it is good to know that he always has my greater good in mind. I love Daryl's perspective. Family, your setbacks are opportunities. I felt like there was such a deep level of wisdom in those words that he chose, that your setbacks are opportunities. When you have hopes and dreams and ideas that line up with God's hopes and dreams and ideas, your enemy, the devil, will try to discourage you and make you lose heart. Shut those lies down. Jesus is standing alongside you, showing you the holes in his hands, saying, "Peace be with you." His spirit is alive and well, and we can be too. When you feel discouraged, see his hands. When things aren't going as you hoped, see his hands. When you want to make poor choices or do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, or when you want to give into temptation, see his hands. When your schedule is full, your fridge is empty, your chores are overwhelming, see his hands. He said to Thomas, and he says it to us, stop doubting and believe. Family, you are in good hands. You are in hands that were pierced for you. The pain, the suffering, the frustration, you know, the whining kids, the frustrating spouse, whatever it is in your life, his hands are held out saying, I'm standing alongside you. I am with you. It doesn't matter what door you've locked. Jesus is next to you because he's got that ninja status. No locked door can keep him out, right? And when the enemy is telling you, you're not good enough, I can't do this, your gifts, your talents, they can't be used for God. God is too great. You are too small. Shut that lie down. Shut that lie down. Because you're in the hands of Jesus Christ. And those are good hands to be in. I have a video that I want to share with you guys. It's a song that I really, really like it. It's a pretty powerful song. We're going to play it. I want to encourage you, if you feel compelled to stand and sing, please do it. It's a great song, and I think it is something that we should all be crying out, and Kenya's going to play it for us. But feel free to stand and sing along with the video. Isn't that a great message? Isn't that something we should be considering when things are feeling crushing and defeating and life is overwhelming and you've got so much going on? Visualize those hands that are reaching out and saying, I am standing with you. I am not leaving you alone. I am sending you out into this world to share this message. It's not something that we're supposed to keep to ourselves. We're supposed to share that message. We don't want Satan's kingdom to grow. We want to expand God's kingdom. We want to bring glory to God in all the things that we choose, all the things that we do. Visualize those hands. He's reaching them out to you. He's not sending you alone. He is with you. And when you're feeling alone, tell the devil, not today. Not today. We are in the hands of Jesus Christ, and we're going to go out and share that love and that message with others because we're not alone. All right. Pastor Amy's going to come up, and she has a prayer that we're going to Say together.
In the name of the resurrected Christ, whose hands were pierced for our sins, whose blood covers us and carries us into your holy presence, we say together, Amen.
As we were singing, I was just thinking about Tamara, Daryl's mom, and when her and I were talking about this experience and how it impacted her and the things that she saw, I want to share with you something she had said. She said that God gave her a scripture, and she said that she was reminded of the story of Jacob. If you're not familiar with the story of Jacob, basically wrestled with God down by like a riverside. And she was reminded of that story when Jacob was wrestling with God and that he wouldn't let go until God blessed him. And God broke his hip or like put a wrench in his hip. And but he still blessed him. God gave him a blessing. And prior to that encounter, Jacob often referred to God as the God of his fathers. And after that encounter, he started referring to God as his own God. And she said that through this, for Daryl, he's always been willing to honor the God of his mom and his dad. But now she's seeing this shift where he's entering into a personal relationship where this is no longer his mom and dad's God. It's becoming personal. He's realizing that this is the God that he serves. And he's making a choice as an individual, as a young man, to place his life in the hands of Jesus, not like by proxy through his parents. This is going to be his personal choice that he's choosing to trust, that when his hopes and dreams may have been dashed in an instant, he's going to trust that God is not giving him a setback. He's giving him an opportunity. Also, something else came to mind. This is totally random, and I'm just going to share with you. This morning when I was framing this picture, I was sitting in a chair saying, do we have any tape? Where's the tape? This is like classic problem in my house. We can't find what we need when we need it, but when we don't need it, there's tape everywhere. Couldn't find any tape. And so I asked Noah to hand me a Band-Aid because that's what was closest. So this picture is being held up by a Band-Aid on the mat. And it just makes me think about the healing hands of Jesus, right? He's always got a Band-Aid ready for us, no matter what that looks like. So I'm going to send you guys out with a blessing, and we're going to be done a little early this morning. I'm sure you're very, very disappointed about that. But we will have more time to hang out and talk. Maybe have donuts. Are there donuts this morning? I don't know. There might be some. Oh, yeah, I got the nod. Thumbs up. Yep, there's some donuts. So feel free to take some time to hang out together and fellowship with each other. If you're going through any struggles and you need prayer, please seek somebody out who'd be willing to pray for you. I definitely can tell you I'm one of those people. I know our leadership team, Josh Ferris, Ezra, who else is on leadership? Kenya, Ray. These are people who, Lynette, I mean, really just look to your neighbor. Somebody here is going to pray for you. You've got lots of people who are willing and able to pray. So let me send us with a blessing. May the God of hope, may the God who rose from the dead, may he stand alongside you and comfort you and bring you peace and joy, knowing that death didn't win, that we're alive in Christ, and may you feel empowered as you leave this morning to share that message with others and to know that you can get your strength from the source of all strength and the source of all hope. In Jesus' name, amen.